Welcome back. There's a situation ongoing. All know someone wrote to me, but they called me this morning, but they didn't get through. And here is the situation. There is an individual who's not feeling well and who is reaching out for some help regarding his COVID test. Now, I'm going to mention this because I believe it may pertain to some other persons who may be waiting for results. And the explanation was that they have to do manual extractions and it's taking a little bit longer. However, what happens then to the individuals who are symptomatic and they are waiting? Now, yes, the advice should be stay home, wait until we call. But then there is an article suggesting that individuals may be waiting too late to get the assistance. And if it is that they're waiting too late, but then you have individuals who are not well, waiting for the PCR result, waiting at home, but they're getting symptoms. In this case, this individual who I have recommended what to do, and I hope that they're doing it right now, the individual is not feeling well, and he's getting a little worse. He's 69 years old, so if someone from the COVID hotline wants to message me so that they can get that information, I would be more than happy to share it. But the question remains, what do they do if they're waiting for the results, they're symptomatic, they've been asked to still come and not wait, but they have to wait for their test results in order to make a move? Please, someone, explain, if you can, because I know this cannot only pertain to this individual. Yes, there are people waiting for test results and they may not be symptomatic, they may be asymptomatic and they're not probably bothered by it. Are you keeping quiet those who are waiting for the test results? And the bracelets, the trackers, are we using the trackers for every person that we tested for COVID, waiting for the results? So if it is that you're waiting, the persons who are waiting, do they have the bracelets on so you know, all right, I've tested these people. It's going to take long. I know where John Brown is. I've asked John Brown to stay home and wait for his test results. So if you can get that clarified and see where people can go, in particular that individual who's reaching out, the family is reaching out. They spoke to me this morning. They've messaged me. They did not get through. The individual is not feeling well. Please, someone, message us. Message me on my phone. And let us know what we can let that, you know, tell that individual who really is not feeling well at the moment. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hi, Kimar Safri here, Barbara
Celeste. It's Safri, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. In quarantine, but I'm good.
You're in quarantine, but you're good. Well, for good reason. How is everything going at the Homeless Society? I saw a couple of articles. You want to tell us what's happening and what can we do to help?
Yeah, for sure. I know Barbadians are concerned. And just to bring some more meat to what is going on, one of our clients would have tested positive for the COVID virus, but very peculiar situation in the sense that he did. He was tested on the 28th. He received his negative test, but on receiving a negative test, he was made to go. But leave the lab when after he got the negative, and the PCR is what showed up that he was actually positive, and he would have given my information as contact because he lives nowhere and he would have a phone. So after they notified me on Monday that he was actually positive, he would have already been inside the building, because on receiving the negative, after he was suspected of being in close contact with somebody who would have been positive, I would have asked him to go get tests. He would have gone to get tests. He would have said that it would have been negative, came back out. So that would have then been on the 28th. The lockdown would have been on the 3rd. Mm-hmm. So obviously, with a negative result, you could easily have let him into the building based on the knowledge that we had at the time. And we let him into the building. He was in the building up until the 8th. Which would have been the Monday, and when we got the call that gentleman lab result would have come back positive, even though his rapid test would have been negative. Mm-hmm. And so that then would have obviously put the shelter in high alert, and we would then close off the building and report it to the relevant authorities that we do have a case where we just been informed.
So the building is closed all now?
Yes, the building is under full quarantine right now, where the security team is there. They're being quarantined. We've all been tested. Everyone, including myself, my staff, and the entire population that is there. Mm-hmm. And we all receive a negative on our antigen rapid test. Mm-hmm. Just awaiting the
PCR.
PCR right now results to basically know where we are as it relates to if any of us
so have been affected. So what happens to the people that depend on this, the building to sleep, to get meals? Where are they? Who's looking out for them now?
So we have when we first went to the lockdown, we had a you're in your in policy and your out policy, mm-hmm. where if you come in, you can leave, but you can't come back in because obviously you're dealing with a new strain. You don't know what is going on, so we just allow everybody to come in at the same time, and then from there, if you leave, you would have to go to get a test from the rapid test at the Best of Santos, obviously, to come back in. Mm-hmm. So that would have been the policy that we would initiate. That obviously would have helped safeguard us, helped safeguard the homeless population that is there as well, who would have taken the option to come off the street. We could not have risked putting people in the building ad hoc because we know every time you bring in somebody new, you'll be resetting the clock as it relates to 5-day quarantine in the quarantine for that person and being extra cautious because that person now left the building, come back in. So we could not risk that. So we said if whoever wanted to take the opportunity to come off now, take the opportunity now because we're going to close off at a particular time and you would can't come in unless you get a test, or if you leave, you can't come back unless you get a test again.
Well, can they get a test on their own without having to come through your organization?
Yes, because they could have gone to the Best of Santos, they could have walked to the lab. And mm-hmm. get the test. So they wouldn't have to come to us at all to get the test because everyone was going to get tested anyway.
But you would be the contact, as you would have been for the other person to get the results.
Yes, our location would have been the contact for the results. But because at that time, the rapid test, we did not know that the rapid test did not pick up people with asymptomatic.
So, no, it doesn't.
So we did not know that at the time. So we were going on these things that if you do have the negative from that, you could have come in. But obviously, we are now understanding mm-hmm. that the rapid test does not necessarily mean that you're negative unless you get that PCR test at the lab. So that was the issue there at that time. And so that was what would have put us at the risk now of taking in this gentleman on the belief that this test, negative test that he had, was the end all to this, not knowing that the PCR test would have been the real identifier of this virus.
So you're saying, so just in case I missed anything, the building is now closed.
The building is now closed. Nobody in, nobody out.
Right. Well, and nobody's so in there at all, so nobody can.
No, people are in the building. People, the homeless that were in the building, from the third.
They stay. Okay. So how are they eating and?
So they're fully eaten. The government is right now providing the 3 square meals because all of our staff went into quarantine, including our cooks. Mm-hmm. So everybody, government is now providing the 3 square meals to keep them good and mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. The others that would depend on us on the street,
mm-hmm. What's happening with them?
We would have asked for all the public feedings to be canceled, meaning the ones that are in the square and the Jubilee Garden, because that is not a controlled environment. So Salvation Army still provides meals. There's about 2 or 3 churches that are still providing meals, but they're providing the meals from a controlled environment. If you have 1 feeder or 2 feeder going to a feeding, and you have about 80 people turning up to a feeding, you do not have a controlled environment. You must sanitize them. You must take their temperature. You must make sure that they're 6 feet apart. If you're only 2 people feeding at a particular feeding, there's no way you can control that. And so because as well, about 6 of the clients that we had in the building, they would have left early because a lot of people can't stand the lockdown. So just as much as we can't stand it, don't think that the homeless could stand it. So some of them left before we even knew about this case. Mm-hmm. And so they have not been tested, and they are on the street themselves as well. And so obviously we are working with the authorities to make sure that those persons are found and that they are also tested. But they are among the homeless population right now. So that's why we're saying that the ones, the feelings without control, let that be canceled. Because the only two, we're not that majority. And the rest of organizations that have the control environment, let them continue doing the feeding, because they will be able to hold properly because they have enough staff, and we've already alerted them what to do. So they're working with us so far. And I've spoken to all the feeders who are still in compliance and working with us to make sure that we all adhere and we all protect the homeless community. It's not about the meal right now. It's about the protection of the lives. That's what's most concerning right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow, it's a lot, you know. It's a lot. And from that one incident, had you known, you know, you would have been able to do different. But now that you know.
Yeah, we would have been able to do. But the one thing that protected us, though, John, if I may add, just for the public knowledge, is mm-hmm. that when everyone that was in the building at the time, I think just about 40 plus, including staff, they would have. It was mandatory that we all wear masks, mm-hmm. and it was mandatory that my staff wear masks and shield. Mm-hmm. So I think that in just, let's say if all goes well, being that the antigen test was negative with all of us, including the clients, if all goes well in terms of our PCR coming back negative, it just goes to a testament to show that the plans that we put in place for the homeless work, because all of us had to wear masks in the building regardless. So we protected ourselves while we were there. So even though the gentleman was there positive, we still maintained everybody wearing masks in the building. It was mandatory, including staff. So that just goes to show we were still making sure that and the building was sanitized twice a day. Temperature checks were twice a day, and baths were twice a day, and we did full sanitization every single day. So that was just to show that we were making sure the protocols were adhered to right through 100%.
Okay, Kimar, are you taking the vaccine?
Well, if it is given out to us, definitely I would. I'd have no doubts about that. So I would take it, and I would encourage anybody to take it as well if it's going to protect us from this. So as a frontline worker, mm-hmm. for sure.
You'll take the vaccine.
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, please.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good morning. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, dear. If I remember you correctly, and when a person disagrees with you, doesn't mean they're being negative. It just means that they have a different perspective, correct?
It depends.
No, we can agree to disagree sometimes. Once we do it respectfully, I think that is every person's right on the planet. Do you agree with me?
Well, I was about to say once they do it respectfully.
Correct.
But then it could be seen as you're just pulling down if you disrespect the person.
No. I think if I'm a Muslim and you are a Christian, or I'm Buddhist, or whatever, we all have the right to free intellect, free speech, you know. And so here, rather than I ramble on that particular point, let me get straight into it. Because in your preamble, you were saying that somehow that the leaders of the world are to blame because of lack of collaboration on the issue of COVID.
I didn't use the word blame. I really didn't.
I'm not saying you used the word blame, but okay. I am saying that is what I surmised from the comments that you made when you initiated, you know, your preamble when you started the program.
Okay, go ahead. You continue your contribution.
So when, like the gentleman that called in, Mr. Agriculture, when this thing came, the COVID-19, it hit everybody, like, what, out of the sky. Nobody was, like, looking for this. Like he said, nobody in our lifetime. I mean, living in Barbados, I do hear about other stuff in other countries, like Ebola, you know. You do hear about stuff, you hear about SARS in other parts of the world. But living in this part of the world, never in our lifetime. Even though you are aware, but we have imagined that it would have reached our shores. Not that you look down for me personally. I don't look down on people. Mm-hmm. But when the World Health Organization then started to deal with this, they were saying, do not wear the mask. do not wear the mask, do not wear the mask. The doctors were saying, oh, you don't need to wear the mask. I was one of the people who wanted to wear the mask, but I did not do it until we were given the go-ahead. Then they started saying, oh, reserve the N95 mask for the nurses and the doctors, the professionals. Am I on the right path so far?
Go ahead.
Okay. Then we learned, because at present, the scientists, I think they left America, are presently in China trying to research the origins of this particular virus. So there are some people who are saying it came from the market, like people eating bats and stuff like that, wild meat. And then there are some people, like the doctor in China, who sounded the alarm and said that this was something that was going on in a lab. Then they heard that he had died, and, you know, nobody knows exactly until we get their report. And then again, it's up to the individual to decide, you know, what they will believe. Mm-hmm. But again, when you are presenting information, I personally, with my own ears on local television, I heard I'm not sure if it was a nurse or a doctor, but she was trying to allay the fears of the public, and she was saying, yes, look, we do know of the Tuskegee experiments. We're not denying it. So we know that you will have some mistrust of some of the medical profession. I myself have been on this program before, and I mentioned another time where administration in the United States government, they made a public apology to some mental health patients in South America for injecting them with syphilis, you know. So these things go on. So we're not saying that medicine is not right. We're not saying that it is not needed. We're not saying that it's not necessary. But there is always a bad apple, you know, in a bunch. Am I making sense, ma'am?
I'm trying to figure out where we're going with this, because you started out by saying, but blaming that I blame more leaders, and I told you I didn't. But let me just pull you back a little bit. In my preamble, when I mentioned the word leaders, what did you gather from that? What was I trying to say?
Into that, because I who have ears to hear, let them hear. I'm going to leave it at that. But I'm saying the government is saying to me, my responsibility right now as an individual is to wear my mask, wash my hands, and keep 6 feet apart. And they know right now, but there's a lot of people not doing that, and they're never going to do it. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to get the vaccine, and they're going to go right back to doing, because you have to be respectful even to keep a certain level of distance between you and people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a level of respect even if there's no COVID-19. So people will never get that. You know, up to this, I saw an old school friend sometime back, and I was really delighted to see her. And she approached me to hug me, and I was like, no, this is COVID-19. And she looked at me all upset. And here it was, I was mentioning it to another individual, and the individual was trying to blame me like I was trying to be unkind.
Okay. Did we lose that call? Okay. I believe we did. So sorry. But if I may, just in case people misunderstood, why I stressed on world leaders, I've often made reference to the Paris Agreement on climate change, where 173 countries came together in Paris, I believe in 2016, I think it was, or 17, and signed an agreement about saving the planet, that the planet was dying and we needed to slow down at least the whole, the impacts of climate change. And that included going to using alternative energy, banning plastics, and so on and so forth. And they were really quick to do that. The planet taking years and years and years and millions of years, you know, in order to do that. You have human beings that are dying in 2 weeks. I just felt that in the same way they did that, they should have gotten together via some sort of Zoom meeting and to start a discussion like a year ago as to how the world was going to tackle this pandemic and not allow for everybody to do their own thing and move around people without proper testing. And we are in this particular situation deeper. I believe that we could have operated as one village a little bit earlier. Down to brass tacks.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am good. And you?
I'm all right. I was going to address you as moderator because I didn't get the name, but...
My name is Joyanne Haig.
Joyanne Haig. Oh,
yes, sir.
Good morning. No, I read in the newspaper this morning an article saying that the post office will be closed until next week, Thursday. Mm-hmm. But I am a little bit surprised because I feel I know that no pension day for the pensioners is next Monday the 15th. And how come you close the post office? Not a single word. When I say you, I don't not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Not a single word from the authorities about how the pensions are going to get paid. 3 weeks ago, when they realized that they were closing the shops, you know, they said they're going to give the shops $750 for the 2 weeks. Why somebody from the National Insurance could not even come on the air and decide, well, listen, if we are going to close the shops, because as far as I'm concerned, they forget the pensioners. What I feel they should have done is that give the pensioners a double payment. If you give a pensioner a double payment, there's no problem. But right now, there are about 70% of the pensioners who receive the check, who receive the check by mail. Are you telling the pensioners that they got to wait till next 2 weeks to get paid?
That is such a good point. And that is a very good point, sir. And
yeah, I know it's a good point.
It's a very, very good point. When was the last time you received a pension check prior to the lockdown? Because you get it every 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, you get it every 2 weeks. But at least, you know, they should have done something.
No, why I'm asking that is, would you have received something just before? And then maybe in 2 weeks, they will then...
The last check was paid on the 1st. On the 1st of February.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so the next 2 weeks will be like on the 15th.
Right, so the national pause is up until the 17th.
Yeah, it was originally for finished today for the, and the postman would have gone back to work. But I see the nation this morning with that bigger...
No, the lockdown, the pause was not for 1 week.
It's for 2 weeks, yeah.
It's for 2 weeks. So we're into the end of the first week. What I'm saying to you, and now that you're discussing it, and food for thought for those who make these decisions, maybe the post office might open back just a few days earlier in keeping with the banks. The bank will open up in, it was 10 days after the lockdown, so the bank will open up earlier. And you never know, the post office may also open up on the same day. That would allow then for you to receive that check just in time. And if not in time, maybe a day or two just later.
Well, I mean, at least somebody should have come and said something. You can't treat us like that. We have already made our contribution.
Yeah, I believe that the pensioners should have been included in the breakdown as to what happens to, you know, various groups. As you rightfully said, they discussed vendors, and I did not hear about pensioners. If it was said, I didn't hear it, so I'm not going to say it wasn't. I just didn't hear it.
All right, let me give you the quick one. I can finish. I want to hear. I can't tell them what to do. CBC 12 o'clock news. Telling us something about how we are going to receive our pension. That's all I want to hear, because that's the worst thing that ever happened in the world.
Oh, I fully understand.
I can't get a cent. And you're giving me money left, right, and center. Thank you very much, Joyanne.
Thank you. And making a plea for the pensioners, if you can get some information as to if the post office will reopen the same day as the banks would be nice, so that our pensioners can get their checks and obviously then get them changed. Much respect to you, sir, and all of the pensioners. We really should not have left them out of this whole setup. If we did, we certainly need to make wrong right. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
John, I called to speak on pensions too, but I told you all, explain it so well. There's no, y'all were speaking about it so for good. There's no, that whatever was going to say, y'all made mention of it. But an old lady called me and told me, on the country again. You see how much problems they give me at? And she tell me, my man has changed it. In fact, he's bring groceries. I take groceries from him. I owe him for groceries. And he just give me money on a check. I know he can be very disturbing. I got no money to give him. I got a check to give him. A lot of them, right, is complaining. Because they say, if the country locked down again, how are they going to get the money? And as you and the guy said, I think the government should change the system up. To at least open the post office at least 2 days a week. 2 days in the lockdown. So that the persons that who get that check changed at the post office could go there and get it changed.
But what was I was suggesting He said his last pension check was on February 1st. So yeah. If he got that check and he had time to go to the bank or the same post office, we had a lockdown on the 3rd. So the banks will open up 10 days. It was 10 days after the lockdown, which should bring us, I guess, into the 13th or 14th or so. Yeah. So we may open back the post offices around that time. So it will still be in keeping with the 2-week period. So we got to wait and see. It's good to put it out there. That is a major concern. Yeah. So that those who are listening, if it was an oversight, they can now put something in place to make sure, look, we need to open up that post office by the 13th or something like that.
You got to help the other folks. They did a lot for the country already, so we can't do them anyway.
I hope it was just an oversight. I believe it was. If it was not, it was a big window. It was a big oversight. Again, I can't say if it was discussed. I did not hear it. And if I didn't hear it, I can't say it wasn't discussed. But clearly, you didn't hear anything.
I didn't hear anything.
The gentleman didn't. And so we'll wait to see if someone can clarify and give some assurance, some reassurance to the pensioners that all will be well at the post office, all of the post offices across the board, and that they will reopen sooner rather than later.
All right, Carl. My neighbor was speaking to me about it. But you hear the Minister of Health saying that he's looking at the North cool down, we're going to lock back down again.
I heard about the statements, and I've seen some of the responses by the public. Right. They weren't too happy about what he said. But again, if the numbers are growing, that's what they may have to do. But hopefully Barbadians will keep quiet a little bit more. Yeah. I mean, I know they have been. I think people have been trying for the most part, but just remember, it only takes one person to do the wrong thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
All right, John, next thing, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm very happy that the lady before, mm-hmm. you allow her to express her feelings and how she wants to speak. Mm-hmm. Yes, she, one of the things about her that she expressed herself very well, and she'd come on the radio for the morning and express herself, and that makes her happy.
Okay.
And I want you all to continue to allow her to express herself. Yeah. Let her express herself. Maybe it gives you a little 2-3 minutes. Let her express herself.
Well, sir, okay. I certainly didn't have a clue who I was talking to, but clearly you knew, and I had no idea. Okay.
And I'm very happy to let you all tell you all, at least give her 2 minutes and let her express herself.
Well, everybody's entitled to have their say. Everyone. All right.
Let her have her say. All right. Thank you so much.
You too.
Happy COVID free.
You too. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joya.
Good morning.
I just want to draw to your attention about the pensioners. Just to let you know that in the Barbados Today, dated February the 9th, it was stated that the post offices will remain closed and they're expected to reopen for business on Thursday, February the 18th. Now, we can see what will happen after this, but that was published on February the 9th. Mm-hmm. That the post offices remain closed in Barbados today, and they're expected to reopen on Thursday, February the 18th.
Okay.
Just thought I'd let you know that. Because
and I'm glad you mentioned
anything,
it and read it out for those
I saw that in Barbados today, but like I said, things can be changed because of what is being mentioned on the radio, but that's what was published in the paper.
All right. Well, let's hope that the pensioners can hold on. And thank you so much for that info. Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Good morning. It's minutes after 11 o'clock. Good morning. You need to turn your radio off.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Higg.
Yes, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. You? And you?
Not too bad. How can we help you today?
I'm calling about those pension checks. Ms. Motley, in a press conference before the lockdown, say that if the pension check was for the 1st of February, she was asking the banks and so on to cash the checks despite the date. The date hadn't come yet, but the checks could have been cashed before the date, before the lockdown. That's what she said in a press conference.
Well, she's making a plea to the banks, but, you know, the banks don't necessarily have to do that as their private. Privately owned.
I think it was the post office and the supermarkets as well. that she had asked them to cash the checks. Don't mind the date was the first, and it was before the first that they should cash the checks.
I think they were talking about the delivery of the next check in terms of how would they get the second one at the post office is closed. Who would come and bring the check? So it was not so much about changing it. Well, that was partially what it was, but I think they're concerned about receiving checks via the post office if it's closed, postal service.
Oh, well, I don't know about the other check, but I know that was what was said about the first check, which would have been dated the first.
All right. Well, let's hope that the post office can open back in a safe manner, of course, and that the pensioners can get their checks and then get to change them, because they normally change them at the post office as well, correct?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much.